Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. While in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Pastor Brock and Alyssa Meyer created video messages for our church family. You can find the video versions of these messages on our YouTube channel.
Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you this Easter morning. Happy Easter to our church family. We love that we get to be with you like this, but cannot wait until we're all together again so that we can hug and high five and shake hands and just have some physical engagement with one another. We are missing that with y'all big time right now. Hey, just want to show you one of the books that I always go to every year at Easter time is Surprised by Hope by N.T. Wright. This is one of just the one of my favorites that I like just to sit in during the Easter season around Good Friday. It just talks about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just to kind of get my mind there where the mind of God is, where the heart of Christ was during this time. Just a good book here, Surprised by Hope. As we go into this Easter season, just want to encourage the mindset and the thought as we look at different holidays throughout the year. Many times, the one that is celebrated the most in America is Christmas. And I believe that it's awesome, and the reason for the season is that Jesus came to the earth. But if I could contend with you, Easter is the centerpiece of Christianity. If you would look at the whole spread of the table and the whole food and the menu that they're going to lay out and the table settings, the plates and the silverware, the centerpiece of it all is the cross. It's an empty tomb. And it's not just enough at Christmas that Jesus came. And then what did he do? He died for our sins. He took the punishment of sin, took it to the grave, and then came fully alive out of that grave to give us life forevermore. It truly is the best part of the entire piece of the Christian religion, and just want to encourage our thinking there. As a kid, one of the old songs that I used to love was the song Nothing But the Blood. And a few of the lyrics, you know, go like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And to get my thoughts there, my thinking there, to sing worship songs about the blood. Alyssa, anytime that you sing about the cross, what happens to you?
I cry every time. I cry every time. I'm overwhelmed by that act of amazing love. And I could be washing the dishes, vacuuming the floor, whatever I'm doing. If a cross song plays on Alexa, you know there's tears streaming down my face.
I love it whenever we're worshiping together right over here at the piano. And if Alyssa starts singing a cross song, you can only hear about every other word.
The voice starts wobbling.
Oh, it just impacts the heart, right? You can't look at the cross and be unmoved.
I'm tearing up now. Oh. I told you.
You love Jesus.
I just love Jesus.
And you can't look at an empty grave and be bored by that. Something's going off in your heart, or something's not going off in your heart, and it shows that there's some problems there. And Jesus came to address the mess in our life and to free us from that sin and to set us onto a whole new trajectory of life. So here's Jesus. He comes to the world, and we were all thinking, right, in the Bible, they were thinking that he is going to be the savior of Israel, and he's going to free the people, and he's going to set up a new kingdom, and the hope of God becoming a man has now come to planet Earth. And then God dies. Jesus is dead. And it leaves people around him just disillusioned, disappointed, depressed. There's a heaviness that hits the disciples, that hits just kind of the whole area around Jerusalem, because we were so hopeful of the promise, but the promise didn't come through. Jesus is dead, and he's in a grave. There are some times where we go through hardships, and it just seems like God's not breaking through. He's not coming through on what he said or promised that would happen. There was a situation that happened in your life where the enemy really even tried to sneak in and accuse God of not being good or faithful.
Right.
Share that?
Yeah. For years, I had very serious back pain, just crippling back pain. And for many, many years, I got prayer for it. I wanted to be healed. I knew that God could heal me. I had no doubt, full of faith. And every time I would get prayer at a healing conference or something, I stood up full of faith and said, I need healing for my back. Even the preacher would say, does anybody need healing? I'd say, yes, I do. And I would stand up full of faith. And Brock and I would pray many, countless times. And prayer after prayer after prayer, I saw no healing. And that was very discouraging for me. And I loved God. I didn't hate God or be mad at God. But I grew very disappointed and said, I know that God can heal me, but he won't for whatever reason. And that's just that. So I know if Brock ever said, he started to say, you want to pray for your back or get healing for your back? And I said, sure. We can pray, but I'm starting to believe that he's not going to answer the prayer. So that was just a very discouraging time. Should I tell them how it ends?
Oh, yeah.
So
that's the best part.
One summer day, Brock came home from jogging, and that is just something I love to do, and I missed with my back pain. And I said, that's it. I am done with the enemy controlling my life and limiting me. And I said, I'm going to go for a run, and I'm going to believe that if I just step out in faith and run, that this could be my healing moment. So got my jogging shoes on and I went out, and you know what? I looked terrible for several blocks. I'm hobbling. I'm just trying to get 1 inch at a time, and it hurt. And you know what?
Just crying.
Oh yeah, crying.
Can barely tie her shoes to put her shoes on.
Yep.
And powering through a couple blocks, tears streaming.
Said, I'm gonna keep going. And you know what? That next block started feeling a little bit better. My form started improving. The next block after that, even better. By the time we are rounding the corner to head home, I am fully jogging in great form and no pain. And you know what? I have not really had back pain since. I've had a few tweaks here and there, but nothing compared to what I've had. The Lord did heal me, but it was in his timing.
It is amazing how there's seasons, and it can be long, painful seasons. Maybe it's the loss of somebody. Maybe it's pain, sickness in our bodies. And it just doesn't seem like God is breaking through. Where is Jesus when we need him? And now we see in Scripture that Jesus, during this Passion Week and Holy Week, as we're heading into the cross, he now is at the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. It all comes back to a garden. It all starts with the first Adam in a garden.
Wow.
And now it's the second Adam,
yeah,
back in a garden. And Gethsemane means the olive press. This is a garden full of olive trees. And one of the cool things to know about an olive tree, you can cut down an olive tree and it will grow back again. No matter how much you've been cut on, that you've been cut back, even it feels like you're dead. In Job chapter 14, there's a great scripture. It says that you can cut this plant to its root, but at the scent of water, it will bud. I just want to say, if there's a scent of water in the air and this bud is for you, this is the time where things that were dead, it's time for them to come alive. And so here is Jesus facing in this garden, and he's facing the cross. He's about to go to redeem all of mankind. And we find this passage of scripture here, and I'm in Luke chapter 24. And Jesus goes to the cross. He's 3 days into the tomb, and then he comes alive again. And there's people that are running to the tomb, and an angel that rolled the stone away, and people can't find Jesus. And for the next 40 days, Jesus starts revealing himself to people. But on day one, he reveals himself to two men that are walking on this road to Emmaus. One of their names is Cleopas, and the other is just named as another disciple. And as they're walking, it says that their heads are down, they're downcast, they're wearing this heaviness, and Jesus jumps in and starts asking questions. And he just says, hey guys, like, what's going on? Why are you so heavy and downcast? Jesus always shows up asking good questions. And they begin to say, we were so hopeful about Jesus. He's not the one that we thought. They said, don't you know what's been happening around Jerusalem? He says, no, what's going on? he was the show. And he acts like he doesn't know what's going on. Jesus, he's so sneaky. Jehovah's sneaky at it again. And Jesus says, I don't know, what's happening? And they begin to share everything. And they didn't realize it was Jesus. It says that his identity was kept from them. I don't know about you, but seeing somebody that comes alive after they've been dead or coming out of the grave would be a little bit freaky. I remember one time our youth group, we had a bonfire at our house as kids, and just around the corner from our house on 600 West and 1000, there's, if you just head a little bit to the west, there's a graveyard. And so we did a hayride, and all of the youth group kids are on the back of this trailer with a hayride, and they take us back in through here. And wouldn't you know that my dad is back there, a couple of our youth leaders are back, and they're hiding out in this graveyard, and they bring us kids, and they come running out. One of them has even got a chainsaw, you know, just freaking out. How many of y'all know when there is things that are alive in a tomb, that is freaky. that is a freak show right there. And so we're all screaming and we're all, you know, going crazy. The last thing that you would expect in a place of death is life. Surely no life comes out of places of death, right? Or do they? I think many times the best things of life come out of the deepest parts of pain, where we've been hurt and we've been dead. So here's Jesus walking with these two guys, just assuming that Jesus is dead, not thinking that he's come back to life again. And he starts talking to him, and it says that he begins to expound on the old scriptures, and he says, don't you know what the prophet said, that he must die and be gone for 3 days, but then he'll return? And he explains this whole thing to them. What I find fascinating in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul, he writes 44% of New Testament books and 26% of all the verses. So if you're reading the New Testament, 1 in 4 verses was written by the Apostle Paul. And a word that he likes to use the most to describe the Christian journey with Jesus is the word mystery. Mm-hmm. He says it's a mystery to do this journey with Jesus. It's something that we don't always understand of what's going on, but it's just a beautiful mystery. As Jesus is walking on this road to Emmaus, it's about a 7-mile walk, which would be about 3 hours walking together. Jesus begins to expound. And I'll tell you, a 7-mile walk with Jesus will change your life. And he begins to speak and say things, and their minds are being blown, and they're like, what in the world? And then it says, as they got to the place where they were going to stop, at their house in Emmaus, or at this place, it says Jesus pretended like he was going to go on further. Jehovah sneaky again. He acted like he was going to do something else. And they said, will you not stay with us and stay in here and just keep talking? And so he says, okay, I will. I'll stay with you. And as they sat down together and Jesus began to break bread, when he began to do the symbols of the cross, of the sacrifice, when he began to do his work, it says that their eyes were open and they saw him for who he is. And when he revealed himself at that point, it says he disappeared. And they looked at each other and they said, were not our hearts burning within us whenever he was talking about the scriptures and the law? You see, these guys had kept the law perfectly throughout their life. And Jesus wanted to move it from behavior to burning. not just doing the right stuff. Jesus has not come to set you free so that you can have behavior modification or better sin management. Jesus has come to set us free, not just so that we can attend church services. Trust me, he didn't set you free for that. He set you free to have a burning heart. In John chapter 1, whenever John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, he screams out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." 4 chapters later, in John chapter 5, verse 35, it's now Jesus as he sees John the Baptist. And Jesus says to him, he says, "John is a burning and shining lamp." There's something about burning that Jesus is all about. And he went to the grave where he stayed for multiple days in isolation. Even Jesus was in isolation by himself 3 days, right? But he came out of isolation on fire. Everybody that he would encounter, their hearts were burning. I just want to ask and challenge us as a church, when you come out of isolation, whenever you come out of your time of quarantine, when we come out back into society, when people encounter you, what's going to be going on inside of their hearts? And I just want to encourage you that the dead things must die. Behold, all things are becoming new. He makes all things new again. He brings life. Easter is all about a resurrection where we come alive again. And I don't know about you, but I know an encounter with Jesus, a walk with Jesus would change my life. And when people walk with you, is it something that's just so impactful that it changes your life? And Jesus shifted the perspective of these guys. It was way more about connection than perfection. It was way more about a relationship than it was just about religious duties. He wanted to cause hearts to come aflame with him. And so the things that we really want to focus on as we look at this Easter time is Jesus is alive. Jesus is fully alive, right? There's a reason why 2 billion people across the planet are tuning in today on Easter to listen to a message from a dead man. What is this message? Wait, he's not dead. He's fully and finally alive forevermore. And he's offering this life to you and to me, to every single one of us. There is this encounter that he wants us to have. And Jesus dying was not the end of hope, but it was the beginning of it. It was hope that was coming to grip a hold of our hearts. It was Jesus dying on the cross to save you from your sin, to save me from my sin, to free the world. And when we thought hope was hanging on a cross, I want to encourage you that hope is now running rampant across the earth. And we need to get the message of hope and good news that Jesus is here. He is back and better than ever. He's fully alive. And he wants to have this encounter inside of every single one of us in our hearts. The end goal is burning. The end goal is to walk with this man that can change your perspective. The end goal is to walk with this Jesus that changes the lens on how you see scripture, on how you see the church, on how you see religion, on how you see whatever you think Christianity is. He wants to shift that, personally sit and sup with you and to explode things in your mind and cause your heart to be burning for him. This is what Easter is all about. This is what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. This is why he came, this is why he died, and this is why he is alive again, to encounter our hearts, to cause us to burn for him. We love you guys.
Love you.
Happy Easter. We cannot wait to be with you again soon. I just want to pray. And if you would like to pray this prayer with me, and just to invite Jesus to come into your heart and to free you from your sin. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you went to the cross to take my punishment for sin. I ask you to free me from all the sin in my heart. I want to give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus, that not only did you die for me, you've come alive for me. And I pray that my heart would burn for you. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray.
Amen.
We love you. We cannot wait to be with you. We'll see you all soon. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Man, I was getting teary.
He does it for me, man. I got a man crush.
I got a man crush.
I love to admit it much.
Much?
I got a hard rush. It ain't slowing down. I got it real bad. Want everything he has. That touch in the midnight. He's giving you now.
Oh, oh, yeah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Are you singing in Spanish?
A little bit of Spanish. Poquito.
What can make me whole again?
Okay, girl.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, church! The acoustics in here are amazing. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You go for it again.
That made me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
See, I got teary. Just doing that. I got teary.
Whew. Does something for me. For sure. He wants our heart bubbly for him. Not bubbly. He wants our hearts burning. Burning for him.
Burning. Your notes say burning.
Burning. Notes. I don't use notes. I'm talking about notes. Never used a note in my life.
Lockdown.
Lockdown. It's less about conception and more about perfection. Wait, what? No, it's more. it's more about connection than perfection.
That's a blooper.
Did I say conception?
You said conception. That's not right.
The immaculate misconception. All right. The Apostle Paul, who had written 44% of all the New Testament books. And he wrote, whoa.
I haven't sneezed all day. I was fighting it. I tried so hard. I was like,
oh my God.
For a good several seconds, I tried hard not to do that. Was my hair messed up?
I don't know. Don't ask me about hair. Oh,
I don't know. The mullet's coming in nicely.
Is it thickening up a bit?
We'll show everybody this.
An update?
Update in the mullet. The skullet. Hot.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.